Oh, yeah. Yeah. Loving that Saturday morning jive.
Yeah, Gary's really got the good tunes going on today. It's fun back here in the call screening studio. Hey, if you just were listening to Suzette of the Garden Goddess Ferments, she has a little promo for Rosy listeners until Monday. You can order from her website. You just go to www.pickupthebeat.com. Beat, B-E-E-T, beat.com. Takes you to her website, and you get put Rosy in the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off. And looking through her site, just really fresh, good food. We have some here to try in the studio, too. It's lovely.
You know, I was not a sauerkraut fan for about the first 30 years of my life. But the older I get, the more I have a craving for sauerkraut. And this cowboy kraut that they have, it's as good as any.
It's called cowboy kraut?
Yeah, but it's spelled with a K. Cowboy kraut.
That's great. That's good.
I got power kraut.
And very, very reasonable for what it is. So check it out.
So does it negate it if you put it on a hot dog?
No, it even says right here.
A big white bun and a big old broth.
Great with eggs on your sandwich and a burrito. Mixed with chicken, fish, beef, lamb, brats and dogs, cheese plate. Drink the juice. It's super juice. I don't think I've ever
Give it a try.
John, you were talking a little bit earlier in the last segment about getting outside and the weeds and y'all had a conversation about the snakes and stuff. Let me just take a minute. Arizona Game and Fish, with everybody, you mentioned you'd been camping down in southern Arizona. I'd been over to eastern Arizona, and Jennifer and I took the horses and went riding up above Strawberry last week. There are more people in the forest right now than I can ever remember seeing, especially in the middle of the week. So Fishing Game came out with an announcement this week that they urge the public to leave baby wildlife alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're out there hiking and covering ground right now, there's a very good chance you could come upon a fawn or a calf, even baby rabbits. Jennifer, did you get that picture posted on Facebook?
Yes, it's up there.
It was last year. Jennifer and I were hiking near Sunrise Ski Resort out in the meadows. And one of my pointing dogs went on point. And Johnny was a white spot. I mean, he was a half a mile away. And I thought, oh, man, he's on a skunk or a porcupine. Yeah. And so I kind of hustled over there. And he was on a hard point for a brand new calf elk that was in the grass.
Wow.
And I mean, he didn't move. So I pulled him off. We walked away from it. And as we walked away, a herd of about 40 elk just came down and moved in on that calf, just swooped him up. Just a very important lesson. So you can see the picture of my dog on point at Rosie on the House Facebook. Go and take a look at it and use that as an encouragement. As soon as we realized what it was, we backed out of the area. And
They're not lost or abandoned. They're not. They're hiding. They stay there. Mama goes off a little ways. And
now, while you're on Facebook, go look at it. While you're on Facebook, go ahead and cast a vote for Rosie on the House, being the number, and let us maintain our number one referral directory standing for 12 years in a row.
I was going to say, when I was in Tennessee many years ago, I was doing a little hike through the woods, and I saw a bear cub about a quarter of a mile away. I got close, and someone stopped me and said, remember, if you see a baby bear cub, mama bear's pretty close around the corner. And sure enough, here comes this huge bear, and I went, okay, see you later, kids. slowly turned around. So the same thing applies. You see a baby, mom or dad's pretty close by.
Yes, they are. Do not pick them up and handle them and bring them to the car to nurse them back to health.
Little PSA from Arizona Game and Fish. We had Sandra text in and want to know, how do you support local farmers and so that they don't have to, we talked about this article yesterday. There was dairy farms that, you've got to continue milking the cow or it'll dry up. They're dumping 100,000 gallons down the drain a day. Just to keep their cows in production, but they've got nowhere to send their product. And she wanted to know, how do we support that local, or any sell direct? Well, the good thing is a lot of the food and the produce that we buy in our stores do come local. And the first Saturday of the month, we have the Farm Bureau in here, and we're always talking about and bring in a different local rancher or a farmer. And we mentioned those products. What was that salsa?
Santa Cruz.
Have you had that chili? That is... A good green chili. And you can go to azfb.org and find, or fillyourplate.org is their website that you can put in products, find local farmers that make it.
They've got farmers markets listed on there. And a lot of farmers are doing CSA, community service agriculture. So community supported agriculture, where you get a box of goods, whatever they have. So and you can, I think, find those on, and you can sign up. They'll take those to a pickup spot, or some of them will deliver to you. So there's a lot of ways that you can do that. And a lot of what's come to light, too, with the meat situation, with our some of our meat processors being shut down and having some issues, is to even go together with neighbors and contact and do a direct buy on a beef or a, you know, half a beef, or and have that processed and do that too. So I think you can find all of those resources on the Farm Bureau.
And like you said, 4-H, and a lot of those kids that have raised animals that would have been going to auction are doing those digitally now. We've got some friends in Buckeye that just sold 3 pigs online to different groups of homeowners that got together and bought it just because they didn't have their regular auction.
Yeah. So there's ways to do it, but the big thing is keep cooking and eating it, and eating lots of produce and eating healthy. You know, that's probably the best way, is quit buying a lot of processed foods and eat good food. Good, you know, most of what's in your grocery store is going to be as locally sourced as possible. It's not processed.
Right.
Yeah, fresh foods. Yeah. So, absolutely.
Fillyourplate.org, and there you can get started with your list there. And today, in our home maintenance calendar, we've talked about summer lawns and making sure we've got a good, healthy summer lawn coming. I mowed this week, and I noticed most of the clippings that were getting cut off were Bermuda.
Yeah, so what you know, if your winter lawn, you know, you'd want to start cutting it down shorter. Don't increase the water, and then here. You know, about any time now, you can dethatch. That'll help. Core aerify will help. But the big thing is getting that height taken down to where that sunlight and heat can get down to the roots and the stolons of those of that underlying Bermuda grass, so that it'll have a chance to wake up and start competing and choking out then the winter grass. So yeah, it's time. I mean, it's middle of May, you got to get rid of that ryegrass now. So your lawn might look a little ugly. It's going to look ugly either way. Eventually the ryegrass is going to die. If you wait too long, you know, into June or July, then the Bermuda grass will be dead underneath it too. Then you'll have nothing. This way, if you force it out, transition it out, you know, you have a couple of weeks of some brown spots, but the green will fill in pretty quickly.
And that's if you're going to a summer lawn. I know you've said multiple times, if you're trying to save water, letting your summer lawn go is a great way, and just do your winter rye.
Yeah, and you can do that. The only issue, just if that's in your front yard, you may have a visit by the local code enforcement people that ask you to you know, cover it with, and I think you can get around it, but you'll have some explaining that you need to do. I'm a big advocate of that. I think it's silly to have a summer lawn when you're not going to be out there enjoying the lawn. And it takes a whole lot more water to grow a summer lawn than it does a winter lawn. These last couple winters, I've hardly watered my winter lawn at all.
And the winter lawn is so much more enjoyable to sit in. You know, that Bermuda, for a lot of people, can really be a very itchy grass. Well, that rye grass, you know, is a real nice.
And regardless of that, you're going to be out in your lawn when it's 75 or when it's 105, you know. So you just have to use the lawn a lot more than you would otherwise anyway. So I don't know. You know, you can You can keep it marginally green. It's just enough to keep it from being dusty and dirty. If you've got dogs, then you probably have to keep, you know, some grass, or they'll be tracking in the all the dead thatch and everything else, and then it'll get muddy. And, you know, if kids need grass to play on, kids don't care how hot it is. They go outside and play, you know, in the grass. So, but for a lot of us, it's really kind of a silly notion to have this great summer lawn, because, you know, you probably have somebody come mow it, and you kind of look at it and go, ah, looks pretty good out there. Okay.
Yeah, save a little bit of that water for your winter lawn and enjoy that way. A great route to go, like you said, if you don't have kids or animals and looking to cut down on your water consumption. What do they say, 70 to 80% of our water use in homes is on the exterior of the home.
Which doesn't necessarily all mean landscaping, but a large part of
right,
it is pools, yeah,
washing your car,
right.
Hosing off your sidewalk.
Can I ask a question on transitioning?
Certainly.
We were talking about transitioning lawns. This weekend, I'm going to have to turn over a quarter of my garden. The onions are done. The green onions are done. The Vidalia onions are done. The lettuce is all but done. What can I replace that quarter of the garden with this time of year?
Good question. And there are some good choices. So eggplant, okra, being from where you're all from, you know, you probably want some okra.
Oh, yeah.
Those are two biggies that love the heat. You know, you just can't hardly get too hot for them. You could probably still sneak maybe some squash or melons or cucumbers in there, but the first two things that always come to my mind when it's really hot are eggplant and okra that just loves the heat.